Tonight, Apple announces two new phones and two new watches. Plus, Microsoft might be close to buying Minecraft. And Facebook Video might be catching up to YouTube. Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 168 for Tuesday, September 9th, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/TN2. Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Lane. Happy Apple Day. Let's get right to tonight's top story. And joining us now is none other than Mark Gurman, senior editor at 9to5Mac. Hey, Mark.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, I could think of nobody I would rather talk to today. So we've got an iPhone 6 and we've got an iPhone 6 Plus. Now, you're somewhat known as the guy who leaks all the information before it comes out. What were you most surprised about today, if anything?
In terms of the iPhone 6, I think there were zero surprises, except the 5.5-inch phone shipping at the same time as the 4.7. So the Plus shipping at the same time as the 6 non-Plus and being available for pre-order at the same time. Lots of talk about shipping delays on that larger model, and I'm particularly interested in that one. So I guess I'm biased and glad that it is shipping at the same time as the 4.7.
But of course, no word. No word from Apple, of course, on what kind of supply chain issues they might have. But what would your best guess be? I mean, If ordering starts on the 12th and I'm not ordering right at midnight, you know, am I going to be looking at months of delays? Because that's happened in the past with Apple.
Right. I mean, the best way I could put this is looking at last year's launch. So the 5S launched at the same time as the 5C, but leading up to the 5S launch, there was lots and lots of talk about shipping delays. And what we saw was a launch at the same time as the 5C, but it was very difficult for people to get certain color models and capacities for a very long time. So I think it's likely that the same thing will happen with this iPhone 6 Plus.
Let's move on to the Apple Watch, not called the iWatch at all, but the Apple Watch. A little bit of a disappointment, at least for me, that delivery doesn't come until after the holiday season, sometime in 2015. Of course, we heard early 2015, and only really got a starting price of $349 for the base model, of which there are three. Anything surprise you about that? Was it just a matter of not being able to churn out enough to put them on sale before early next year?
Well, in terms of the feature set, I think everything that I was expecting was announced, and I don't think the early 2015 launch is that surprising. What I am a bit surprised about is how this is being so angled at being a watch, like literally a watch with a digital Apple twist on it. A lot of people were expecting this to be more of a fitness band type of device. That's not to say that it doesn't act like one, because it certainly has a ton of innovative fitness functionality. It's just that the angle seems very elegant, watch-focused. Something interesting to know, like you were alluding to, there's a lot of unanswered questions. We still don't know the battery life. We still don't know the pricing, besides the $349 entry on the sports rubberized model. We don't know exactly in 2015 when it will ship. Another big thing is they didn't even let anyone play with the watch. They just, you know, put screenshots on it and let people hold the hardware. So I think they're running a bit behind on the software side of things. So I think it'll be some time until we see that all polished out, and maybe it'll look a bit different at launch.
Seems really polarizing, at least from the people in our industry that I was following as we were covering the event live here at Twit. You know, there were people who said, wow, this is amazing. I can't wait to get one. And other people saying, I don't really get it. I think at one point I heard someone say, is this Apple's new Newton? Which is extremely harsh. But what is your best guess for this as a new product? Highly anticipated. Everybody wanted to see what Apple was going to come out with. And as promised, they did deliver. Is it going to be a big seller, though?
It's a very good question. I mean, I think this could go one or two ways. I think it'll be successful regardless. It could either be a smash hit, especially the lower price sports model, or it could be something that's extraordinarily niche, like the Mac Pro or some of the higher end Macs. Will it sell like an iPhone or like an iPod? I really don't think so at these price points. I don't think that everyone has a use case for a watch, but I certainly think a lot of people in the tech community or people who are interested in technology or high fashion items will really flock to this. So I think it's going to be a big hit regardless. It's just to be seen like how big of a hit.
Going back to the iPhones for just a second before I let you go, Mark, the 6 Plus has a couple of features that the 6 doesn't have. For example, optical image stabilization for the camera, which is something that for me is really important because I like to have the best camera as possible. How do you think that's going to work with people who are trying to choose, do I want a bigger or a smaller iPhone? Because then you have to factor in, do I want the better iPhone?
Right. So I think looking at some of the images, it looks like both phones are much bigger than the current iPhone 5S, but the 5.5 isn't terribly larger than the 4.7. And I think some of the trade-offs of that larger design are better video playback, and like you said, the optical image stabilization and the camera sensor. But I think a really important feature that separates the Plus from the 6 non-Plus, or I call it the 6 minus, is the iPad UI in landscape on the Plus. It lets you see more content because, let's say you're in Calendar, you can see all your events, and on the right side, you can see where they are on the calendar. So it's just an easier view, just like on the iPad. So I think it's a true phablet, the Plus model. And I think the 4.7 model is just a blown up version of the current phone UI. So I think if someone's looking for a bigger iPhone with a much improved or different experience, they're going to want to take a look at the 5.5. But obviously, you won't be able to go wrong with either. It's just a matter of what is the best for you, either just a slightly bigger design or a much bigger design with more power.
What do you think about that $500 price point for the 6 Plus at the 128 gigabyte capacity? I don't think I've seen a price like that before on contract.
On contract? Yeah, I mean, that's up there. I mean, if you just look at the first iPhone days, I mean, if you think about it, there was no option for an on-contract or an off-contract price. So if you want to look at it through that way, you can think of this being the same price as the 8 gigabyte iPhone original that was also $499 back in 2007. But, you know, times have changed. Carrier subsidies is a thing now. Financing is a thing now with like AT&T Next and Verizon Edge. So I think if people want the phone, they'll figure out a way to get it. But yeah, off contract, it's about $1,000 on the top end. That's the price of like a MacBook Air. In fact, I think there's some Macs that are even cheaper than this 128 gigabyte iPhone. So you really have to think, do you want a Mac or do you want a phone? I mean, look what you can get for those prices.
Exactly. So thank goodness it's so
big. People are going to have some decisions to make. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, like it's so big, it's almost the size of a Mac at this point.
Exactly. Or at least an iPad. Mark Gurman is a senior editor at 9 to 5 Mac. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark. I know it was a big day for you, and let folks know where they can keep up with your work.
I'm at 9 to 5 Mac and Twitter at Mark Gurman. Thanks for having me, Sarah. It's always great.
Absolutely. See you soon, hopefully.
See you.
All right, let's move on. Before we get to the rest of our news feed, we want to share a free and secure tool with you. It's called Personal Capital, and it helps you grow your wealth. You want to be wealthier, don't you? Yeah, there's some barriers, though. It's hard to keep track of your stocks and your bank accounts. And if you're like me, you've got multiple logins, and it kind of feels like a mess. Or you can have somebody manage it for you, and then you have to pay that person because they're not going to do it for free. Well, Personal Capital brings all of your accounts and assets onto a single screen on your computer, your phone, your tablet with intuitive real-time graphs. Personal Capital has an award-winning watch app. Well, it's not the watch that we saw today, but you can download it in the Google Play Store that seamlessly integrates with Personal Capital for all you Android people on Android devices, provides users with relevant and timely updates on their finances. Personal Capital shows you how much you're overpaying in fees. Often, that's really surprising. At one point, I was paying hundreds of dollars per month in my 401ks. I am not kidding. You want to reduce those fees, right? That's what Personal Capital does. Plus, it gives you tailored advice on optimizing your investment. Signing up takes just a minute, and it'll pay you back in big dividends. Personal Capital gives you clarity and transparency so you can make better investment decisions right now. To set up your free account, go to personalcapital.com/T. TN2, that's TN and the number 2. Personal Capital is free and it's the smart way to grow your money. And we thank Personal Capital for their support of Tech News Tonight. All right, let's get into the rest of the news in tonight's tech feed. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Microsoft is in serious discussions to buy Mojang AB. That's the Swedish company that makes the video game Minecraft. The Wall Street Journal is citing an anonymous person with knowledge of the matter who also said the deal was worth $2 billion and could be signed as early as this week. Both Microsoft and Mojang declined to comment. However, Mojang CEO Marcus Persson has turned down outside investment in the past and is known for his stance against big corporations, including Microsoft. He's even tweeted about them. But Minecraft would be a potential big money property as a Microsoft property. The game has sold more than 50 million copies since its 2009 release and earned more than $100 million just in profits last year. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella has said that Microsoft views video games as a way to expand the company's footholds in PCs and mobile phones. Back in July, called gaming the, quote, single biggest digital life category, measured in both time and money spent in a mobile-first world. Sounds like a pretty good match made in heaven. Mojang employs around 40 people in Stockholm, Sweden. By comparison, Zynga has around 3,000 employees and had a $37 million loss last year on $873 million in revenue. So, yeah, I can see where Microsoft would think that Minecraft was pretty valuable indeed. Moving on to Facebook news now. The company is getting serious about auto-playing videos that users pass along, and also videos that advertisers pay to be seen. The company set up a system to encourage video distribution to its very large user base, and Recode reports that if successful, it could really be a true YouTube competitor going forward. Facebook reports that organic video views, those are videos that your friends share, have been growing 50% from May through July. The company says it's now doing 1 billion video views per day. Part of that is auto-playing videos, which Facebook finally started rolling out. And it also changed its algorithm to start showing more videos to people who like videos. Here's the interesting thing about liking a video. It's just watching a portion of the clip. Facebook doesn't say how long you need to watch that clip to constitute a like. Facebook also says it'll be offering more advertisers autoplay abilities and will put more emphasis on view counts. Very YouTube-like of you, Facebook. Snapchat announced today that it had settled out of court with Reggie Brown, the Snapchat founder's college friend who claimed to have invented the app's trademark disappearing messages, also known as ephemeral messages. Snapchat wouldn't disclose exactly how large the settlement was, but Brown's lawyers previously said that they were hoping for one-third of the company. That's now worth about $1 billion in value. Of note, this is a sneaky thing that happened today. Snapchat published its release of this news at exactly 1 p.m. Eastern time today, the exact same moment that Apple started broadcasting its iPhone event. Way to bury the news, Snapchat team. And finally, we have a death in the family, as the iPod Classic has finally been put to rest and removed from Apple's website. The last time the iPod Classic was updated was in 2008, when storage capabilities were adjusted a bit. The design of the iPod Classic dates back to 2004. Apple shed a few products this year, iPad 2, the iPhone 4S today. Now, with the removal of the iPod Classic, 30-pin devices from Apple are so over, like shell art. I don't know. It's a Portlandia joke for a few of you, three of you that are watching right now. That's it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. It's been a very long day. Subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TN2 and do write us with feedback at tn2@twit.tv. Don't miss Tech News Today back at its normal time tomorrow and every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. See you then. I'm Sarah Lane and thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.